A new year. Can you believe it's 2021? I'm gonna. It's hard to stretch my mind around some of these numbers. I'm truly grateful to God that we're here. I'd like you to go to James, please. James, chapter 4. Hebrews, James. The first teaching of our new year, I guess, you know. I mean, it's always interesting to point it out, but the truth of the matter is it's another day, right? There's a really wonderful verse here. My teaching on this morning is if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And that's in James chapter 4. In verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you draw near to God, he is going to draw near to you. Our Father wants you. He wants to be with you. He wants fellowship with you. He desires this. He's made this available to his people for, you know, since the beginning. He really wants his children to love him and to desire him and to need him and to rely upon him. He wants your fellowship. He loves you. That the scriptures has made so abundantly clear beyond comprehension to me. I mean, God has made this so abundantly clear to each and every one of us. Yet there is a requirement. There is a choice here. He is a holy God. He is absolutely holy. Every promise that he has made, every promise that he has made is true. Everything that he has said is absolutely true. And but you and I also, and everything that he has said to us and communicated to us, we have to choose him. We have to choose to keep him first. Go to 1 Peter, just the next book over. 1 Peter chapter 1. See, he doesn't change. He is the Lord God Almighty. There's a difference between, you know, people and Almighty God. God is steadfast. He does not waver. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse, I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, you and I are to get steadfast in our mind. We'll get strong in our brain, in our commitments. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. That conversation is behavior. You live your life according. Holy living is living according to God's word, God's rules, what he says. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, pass the time of your sojourning. When you stand before the judgment seat, he's going to judge us according to what we have done according to his word or not. You know, I know that we are justified through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, I also want to make sure when I stand before him, I'm not... I don't know how to put it into words, I guess. I don't want to be the child that, you know, you show up and get your report card. And like I did when I was a kid, I hated report card day. I wasn't one of, I didn't have a teacher like Joshua, you know, that prayed for me. And I don't think I was real obedient, or I had my problems. I don't want that. I would love, you know, I would love for my Lord and my God to say, well done, thou faithful son. Yeah, you did your best. He knows that we're all flesh. He knows that we all fall short. He's given us plenty to say, hey, just ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive. But he wants, I want to be of a good report. I want to be one like Paul who could say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. You know, Paul knew he had crowns. Paul knew he was faithful. I've fought the good fight. Yeah, that's what I want. I mean, I don't know if I'll do, but this is what I want. This is what I desire. And I do it because, not for the crown, I do it just because I want to please my Father. If I have a little kid that just wants to be pleased, the father, you know? Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. You know, you and I were not redeemed with blood of bulls and goats. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who did it right, our big brother, gave his life for ours. This cost God so much. It cost our Lord so much. We owe him everything. Therefore, we endeavor to walk, to glorify our God, to choose this. So, let's go to... And this choice, I mean, this choice, this is not optional, but this is all throughout the scriptures. Go to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles, chapter 28. In verse 9. It says in Solomon, this is David talking to Solomon. He is standing in front of the entire congregation of Israel and before Almighty God. And he's giving this charge to his son, Solomon. And now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the heart and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You seek him, you know, those of us who seek the Lord, draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh to us. If we seek him, he will be found. If we don't, then, you don't have him. You don't have his blessings, you don't have him in your life, you just don't have him. It's by our choice. He desires us. See, he has fixed his love upon us. He has fixed his love upon all men, not just, you know, some of us, not just the children of Israel, not just those of a certain blood type. He has given the life of his son to all mankind. Every creep, every axe murderer, every killer, Jesus Christ died for. That if any of them, whoever they be and whatever they have done, if they turn to the Lord and believe the gospel, the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will cover them. Remember the guys hanging next to Jesus on the cross? I deserve to be here. Leave this man alone. He's done nothing. He deserved the death sentence. He confessed to that fact. They weren't unjustly killing this guy. And Jesus looked at him. He's the only man that stood up for Jesus in all those hours that he was being tortured. He's the only guy that spoke up for him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. What did he do? He dropped dead three hours later? I mean, it wasn't a real long stand that he had to do for the Lord. Wasn't real long. But my point is, when you turn, no matter who you are, that's the kind of mercy and love. But you got to turn. You got to choose. And you can't play God like a fool. I mean, David is the one charging his son here, Solomon. David was the one that premeditated the murder of Uriah and stole his wife. And the son that he's talking to is the son of that woman. And you know what? God did not forget it. He put that in the birth record of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know, the son of David, Solomon, who was the mother of, I forget what it's, I got to go back to Matthew. Yeah, let me just. Yeah, it says in Matthew chapter 1, it says, and Solomon begot, before that, 6, and Jesse begot David the king, and David begot Solomon of her that hath been the wife of Uriah. God never forgot it, and he never let anybody else forget it either. God forgave him. David's going to be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. God forgave him, but he never forgot. Uriah was the faithful one. But to get back here, we choose. We choose this. Go to Psalm 73. If thou seek him, he will be found. I don't care what your situation is. You seek the Lord and you seek his help, he will be found. That's his promise. Psalm 73. Oh. Verse 28. It says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all my works. It's good to draw near to him. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. In verse 6, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that awesome? Go back to James. In James, I want you to consider this again. You know, you don't take a verse of scripture out of its context, right? Not if you want the truth. You can take all the happy verses, like, I remember that Pollyanna movie? She liked the happy texts, the happy texts. But, you know, you got to take them all. And consider what it says in the context here. In verse 6, we'll start again. It says, in chapter 4 of James, it says, but he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace unto the humble. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. You know, we can figure out everything that we like, what we think is right, what we think is just, what we think is good or bad. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. We can think about all these. If you're not thinking what he thinks in the word, then you better humble yourself. Because what he thinks is what's true. What he thinks and what he has communicated is what is real. Not you and I. I got plenty of opinions about so many things, but I truly desire to have God's in my life. And I have to evaluate everything in light of God's word. And I really do try to seek the answer. You know, and this goes from very practical things to spiritual things or things that are conceptual. I mean, as practical as it gets to work honestly, you know, to give 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay and not to cheat, called integrity, right? Not to steal. You don't lift somebody's pencil off the desk. It was just there. I mean, those are little things, but he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. If you train yourself or don't train yourself to be faithful in that which is simple and right in front of you and practical, then you'll never do that which is of consequence spiritually. Being loving. Forgiving, living in that attitude of love, the same kind of love that Christ had. It's not the gushy feely. It is the sacrificial to kind of love, the service kind of love. Is your life filled with service? Husbands and wives, are you serving the other? It's not a 50-50 deal. It is, I have dedicated myself to serve my wife with my life. She has dedicated herself to serve me with her life. And we dedicated ourselves to serving our children for our life. You know, I didn't have children so that they could take care of me. They may, but it was never my intention. Same thing with the things of God, serving in the church. Same thing with teaching his word and learning it. Same thing. Why do you study the word? First and foremost, to love your Father, to know his will, then to be able to share it with somebody else. And if you're leading other people to him, are you leading them to for the point of God being loved? You know, or just for somebody to agree with your opinion about the Bible? You know, it's too hard to go through every aspect of this, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We are not to be proud. We are to humble ourselves. Verse 6 again. For he gives more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if you go to the top of chapter 4, which I'm not going to do, he lists all the things of the lust of people in their lives, wars, murders, everything else happens because people are sinning. They're sinning and they're doing this to heap upon themselves their own lusts. That's why they do it. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you resist, if you take the word of God, you're being tempted on a specific thing, like Jesus Christ was when he went into the wilderness and the devil tempted him. You take a specific thing that comes your way, a specific temptation, and then you bring the word of God, the scripture that resists this temptation. And you put it on in your heart and head and you stand upon it, the devil will flee. The temptation will have no power, because the word of God has got power. If you choose to put it on, you know, this is a promise. It will. He will flee. The adversary goes throughout all the earth seeking whom he may devour, right? Well, he devours. The only ones he devours are the ones that are stupid, ignorant, or compromised. And the way he does this is he does not come to me and tempt me to pick up a weapon and murder somebody. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. I'm past that. Maybe once upon a time in my young life, but I'm past that now, right now. It's not a temptation for me any longer. It doesn't even cross the mind. But what he does is he takes a temptation that, oh, he might fall for this one because I'll make it look really close to good. I'll really make it close to what God says, just like the devil tried to do with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, cast yourself down. And because the scripture says that he's going to bear thee up with the angels if you dash your foot against the stone. But the Lord knew it was a temptation. You know, don't tempt the Lord thy God. He said, it is written. He brought the scripture to bear. That is how you, that's the example we have of Jesus resisting temptation. That is how we do it. You humble yourself. What does God say in this situation? Verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He will lift you up. You mourn for your sins. I mean, all of us sin. All of us fall short. I can guarantee I got a church full of sinners, including the preacher. If you don't think so, then you are deceived. And I'm telling you, humble yourself to Almighty God. And look at what his word says. Okay? Mourn for your sins. Cleanse your hands. You think you're so righteous? Don't be that foolish. God works within those of a contrite heart, a humble, humble mind. Sermon on the Mount teaching, think about it. First thing, humility. These verses teach us, point us in a direction. You and I, we live our lives, we do our best, but if you're not putting on this word, if you're not reading it and really seeking to do it in your life each and every day, and you ask God, you know, what would you have me to learn? What would you have me to think? What would you have me to do? And then practice it. Practice it until it's just so much a part of your life that this is who you are. You know, I get so many people saying, well, that's not me. It's not. Well, get that way. Get that way. Because, you know, the John McCabe that lived 40, 50 years ago is not pleasing to God. I changed my life. In fact, go to Proverbs chapter 1. And I truly try to continue to. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been around, or how holy you think you are. You got a long ways to go. You know? And I believe that we all continue to grow. You know, in the much nicer way to put it, we all continue to grow in God's word and learn God's word and put on God's word. But the truth of the matter is, whether I say it the one way or the other, it's the truth. And this is the major point. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. If you draw nigh to him, that he's always wanted you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to walk like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he tells us to shoot for. Will you truly try and discipline yourself in your thinking and your living to do his word? You draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. And there's so many places, like I read you those verses, Solomon, Psalms, you know, Chronicles, Isaiah. I mean, he repeats this in the Bible so often. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Says the proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. This was the man who was the wisest in all the earth, right? And this is a lot of his wisdom that he wrote down. God had him write it down. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge, and discretion. God wants to give knowledge and discretion with his wisdom, with his word. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand the proverb, a dark saying, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is where it starts. You want to learn? You want wisdom, you want understanding, you want to understand what real justice is and judgment. It's in God's word. But fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. Now you get to both sides again, right? And he spends an awful lot of time in this chapter talking about the fools. And I'll spend a little bit of time. My son, hear the instruction of your father. See, in Hebrews it says, am I a father? Then where is my reverence? If I'm your God, where is my obedience? He does the same thing in Malachi. They turned against him, and he says, you know, where's my honor? You sacrifice garbage to me, and you know it. Where's my honor if I am really your God? You despise what I do. You just go through that. You wouldn't open the doors of the temple for the people to enter unless you got paid, what he says to the priests. What a sick, yeah, but it's true. Just recently I heard a story about a person that asked the priest to come and help talk to them. I don't do that anymore. I'm off duty. You know, some minister someplace. My son, verse 8, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoils. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the ways of them, and refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. You know, I was like this once upon a time when I was a kid. I grew up in the streets of the city of New York, and me and the guys, we would sit around, and some days we would sit around and think up stuff to do that was just plain mean, evil, and just for fun, we would do it. Just for a gag, we'd beat some other kid up. And then, you know, other nights we would sit around and think, you know, we got to protect everything around us. You know, we had this, like, this stupidity about us. I didn't know God. I didn't know his word. This is perfect. How do you think gangs get formed? You know, people want to belong to something, right? They want to belong, and they're alone. One of the things that is so terrible about what's gone on this past year is people are alone. They're isolated. They're more vulnerable now than they've ever been. And that the truth of the matter is, a lot of people ain't going to make it because of that alone, because they don't choose to stretch beyond their place. But that's another issue. When it comes to this evil, when it comes to these kind of gangs, when it comes to this kind of thinking, it's commonplace. It wasn't just in Queens and the city of New York. It's in every town, every city, every community, every group, in every generation. You know, this wasn't even the start of it. This is just when it was put down on paper. It's common among men. And why do these kids go that way? First of all, because they reject that which they've been taught, hopefully. It says here, And they also reject the words that are wise, wisdom, God, his word. You know, there was other times in my life when I grew up a little bit and I stood up. I remember, actually, I was thinking about this the other day. Yeah, I was probably about 13, someplace in there. And I was walking my dog and I was standing on the corner of 28th Avenue and Steinway Street. And there was a man catty-cornered across the way, beating his woman, beating her. She was screaming bloody murder and he was beating her. And I, this 13-year-old kid, I raised my voice and I yelled as hard as I could, leave her alone, leave her alone. And this guy, he stopped beating her and he come look for me. Yeah, and he then, you know, 13 compared to a full-grown idiot. But what else could an individual do? You either had the courage to speak up. You know, I was taught by mommy and dad, don't get involved. Just not natural. So I just kept yelling back. Figured if I yell back and she yelled back, I mean, she's the jerk that's with him. And she walked away with him after the thing was over, like they were still on a date. Fool. But I was going to stand up. I had other friend of mine stood up for somebody screaming in an alley and got killed because the woman was being raped and he got himself killed. You know what? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for somebody else. Your life ain't worth nothing. It ain't worth preserving, you know, unless you're willing to do what Jesus did to you, especially to your own household. I don't want to take it too much further than that, but, you know, I'll do anything for my wife. I'll lay my life down for her, my children, my grandchild. I got a whole list of people I'll lay down my life for. I don't have to figure it out right now. No doubt. But the truth of the matter is, the temptation, I got to go with the crowd. I want to be accepted. That's what happens when you're young. I don't want to be the one left out. And then the intimidation factor comes in. You don't go my way, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to intimidate you. You're going to get this war, you're going to get canceled. Cancel me. You figure it out, because it's either the word or it's the world that we live in. It says, for they shall, don't go that way. Go to verse 24. It says, because I have called, I, God, have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand. And no man regards. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You wouldn't have any of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. See, God is not going to be treated like a fool. Common sense, right? Just common sense. Think about this. Moms, dads, kids. You know, I have just an example. I have a disobedient kid who never really listens to me, never really respects me, and is downright belligerent. And then on Friday night, he asked me, hey, Dad, would you give me the keys to the car? I really need them. Guess what the answer is? I mean, just guess. Just take a long shot. It's not even hard to figure out, is it? You already know the answer. It is obvious, yet you're going to play me like a fool? Well, God is no different. Everybody in a gem. You know, there's nobody that isn't sorry that's in prison. After you get caught, everybody's sorry. That's why some of these records in the scripture people have trouble with, like Saul, when he said to Samuel, come turn with me, let us turn to God and worship with me together. You know, I'm sorry. Remember when God told him to kill the Amorites, keep none alive? But then he says, what's the bleeding of the sheep in my ear? What's this? How come you kept the best? How come you kept the gold? How come you kept the animals? I told you to utterly destroy it and not take anything. And then you kept the king alive too? And God says, I've rejected you from being king. You're done. It's these people, these kind of individuals who have lived a lifetime of sin, and all of a sudden at the end they got caught. Their calamity is coming upon them, and now they're going to turn. God knows the difference between true repentance and getting played. And believe me, God Almighty will not be played. You know, everybody, when they're in a real jam, oh, I'll dedicate my life to the Lord. And then when the jam is over and everything's going good, I've seen people do that with jobs. Oh, Lord, give me this job. They get the job. They've been praying. People pray in fellowship with them, and then they never come back to fellowship. Well, it's between them and the Lord, not for me to figure out. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't choose. They would none of my counsel. They wanted nothing to do with me. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me, he shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You can be at peace. The people who turn to God and look to him, you can be at peace from fear of evil. The people who keep the fear of the Lord in their life. I mean, like I said, we all sin, we all fall short. But the people who just reject outright him, his word, his son, all that's been done, forget it. Our choice. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Chapter 2 is filled. Look at this. This is the positive side. My son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understand. You lean into this. I want to hear this. I'm leaning into it because I really want to hear. And you apply your heart. This is practical application of doing it. You know, the word of God says, give and you shall receive. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? Whatever you give, you're going to receive. So what are you giving? You're giving love? Then you'll receive it. You're giving forgiveness? Then you'll be forgiven. What are you giving? You give in hell, oh, you're going to get a bunch of it. Whatever, try it. Go into a bar sometime when the mass thing is over. It's if there are any left. Try it sometime. Yeah, you know, go on in, give everybody hell. See what happens. Or go in and be friendly. I mean, it's a sad example, but you know what? When I first learned the Bible, that's what I did. I learned that a quiet word turns away wrath. So I said, let me try this out. And I practiced it. And guess what? It worked. You know, I said, if to be forgiving, you know, it wasn't just the, oh, forget about it. And then you're thinking up some way to pay him back. But you truly forgave and let it go. And it freed me in my mind and heart. Whatever you do in his word. Yea, if thou, verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? This is how you get there. This is how you get there. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserves the ways of his saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness. You'll understand what righteousness is, judgment, equity, and every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Not legalism, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the ways of evil men, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaves the paths of unrighteousness, who walks in the way of darkness. He's going to deliver us from these evil ones. I pray, God, deliver us from evil and unreasonable men. They're everywhere. You never know which way they're coming at you, but they're out there. Those ways are crooked. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their path, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know what the strange woman is in the book of Proverbs, the whore? It is the world wisdom. You know, it's put in terms, but really it's talking about worldly wisdom. There's a whole lot of rabbit holes to go down in life, but you can choose God. You can choose his word. You can choose to live it. You choose to draw nigh to him. And it's a guarantee that he will draw nigh unto you. Just choose to live his way. That's what I wanted to share with you today. I love you all very much. So, Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for this new year we got in front of us. And help us to choose well, my God. Choose you. Lean into your word, Father, and listen and apply it in our lives so that we can live without fear, so that we can live without being in bondage to the world that's around us. I just love you, my God. I just want to please you. I really don't care about any much else. If I please you, then everyone else around me, my God, will be blessed. So I praise your holy name. I love you with all my heart. And I ask, Father, that if I can be of service in any way, that you allow me to do it. And I pray this, and I ask, God, for your blessing on all your children, especially everybody that gets to hear this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.